Hello and welcome to the CMPL podcast. My name is Phil and I'm joined by my fellow nonfiction librarians, Kathy, Uma, and Kate. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Today, we're going to talk about forthcoming nonfiction books that we are super excited about, or, you know, are at least vaguely excited about. Some of these are official nonfiction hot reads selected and voted on by our librarian team. And some are just books that we are personally looking forward to, regardless of what anybody else thinks. Kathy, would you like to start us off with your first pick?
Sure, absolutely. So I chose a book, a forthcoming book by my favorite author, or one of my favorite authors, Amy Tan. You know her as the author of such books as The Joy Luck Club, Bonesetter's Daughter, Kitchen God's Wife, Saving Fish from Drowning, etc. 100 Secret Senses, they're all wonderful. And the Backyard Bird Chronicles is actually a nonfiction memoir about her bird watching, and I'm always excited to hear that she has produced another book. The book brings together selections from 9 personal journals and filled with sketches and handwritten notes of observations about birds spotted in her Northern California backyard between 2017 and 2022. And for years, Tan has looked out on her California backyard paradise. I'm so jealous when I read about it. There's oaks, periwinkle vines, birch, Japanese maple, many more, observing more than 60 species of birds. And she fashions her findings into a delightful, quote-unquote, approachable journal, experts accompanied by her gorgeous color sketches, which, by the way, she didn't start out as an artist. I mean, she has some, you know, artistic talent, but she was taking lessons at the same time. So the sketches in the book kind of evolve according to how good she got. It seems like some people have all the talent, you know?
Yeah, so she's the author and the illustrator?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
That's very cool. I didn't realize that.
It's, you know, her gorgeous sketches, her fiction writing talent inspires her imaginings of what birds are thinking as she chronicles food fights, the battle of the bird bath, bird wooing, parents teaching fledgling exploring, and birds at play. She tries to rescue sick birds and chases cats away. She feels especially close to hummingbirds. Her lively sketches include commentary and bird remarks in graphic novel mode, while her beautifully detailed portraits depict each bird as a distinct personality. She, and I can relate to all of this, she chronicles food fights, the battle at the bird bath, bird wooing, parents teaching fledglings. I have a personal experience of that. And birds at play. She tries to rescue sick birds and chases cats away. She feels especially close to hummingbirds, loves finches and warblers, and is awed by hawks and great horned owls. I wish I saw as many birds as she sees. I don't.
Oh,
I see
too.
Quite a few, but
yeah, she must have a heck of a backyard.
Oh, it says rooftop, but it's
okay.
In California, and she's surrounded by all this greenery, so I don't know if it's actually, I don't know. It's hard to figure out what that actually means by
It sounds
rooftop.
Very low stress.
I have to read the book.
I know.
I'm waiting for it, and because summer is coming, spring and summer, perfect title you chose, Kathy.
Thank you.
We are going to watch a lot of birds now.
Yes, and that comes out in April. I can't remember when exactly in April, but that's one of our April
right.
hot reads. So
yeah,
definitely watch for
I
that
mean,
one.
The book describes Tan as funny and candid. Day by day, she's continued to learn more about the birds, their activities, and how she should relate to them battling pesky squirrels, which, of course, anybody who watches birds knows squirrels and other pesky birds can take over the so-called pretty birds, okay, which is not very nice, but that's the way it is with bird watching.
Yeah.
And I'm going to grab this idea. She deterred a crow, which are just scavengers at bird feeders, and she hung an upside-down crow.
Wow.
On the bird feeder to deter the crow.
Oh my God.
Oh
like
my
as a threat. That is so threatening.
I know. I've heard of people putting a snake in a vegetable garden.
Wow.
But a rubber snake, of course, but this one I'm going to try. In fact, I'm going to go, you know, looking for a rubber upside down hawk or a hawk anyway.
I just bought a rosin owl for our backyard because otherwise birds will build a nest, which is adorable, but our dogs don't understand that these are little baby birds trying to live and fly.
Right.
So.
I have a fake owl. Eyes turn red. Yeah, oh. It's like a motion sensor intended to scare squirrels away. Its eyes turn red and scary.
Oh, where did you get it?
I think Amazon.
Okay, oh. Well, everything's on Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, probably pretty soon you can buy a baby on Amazon.
Probably.
Right.
What I was just going to say, though, as Uma knows, and Kate, but mostly Uma, I think from, you know, our meetings over the last few years, how passionate I am about bird watching at my feeders. You know, I don't go actually out and exercise to see them. But Uma actually bought me the cutest mug once, Distracted by Birds, because when we were in COVID season, we had to do remote everything. And so I'd be sitting there, but outside the window would be the bird feeders. And I kept looking over at the bird feeders. So the only other thing I'll say, you know, other than I bet this book is going to be great, is that cats, she was always trying to deter cats. They kill something like 1 billion birds a year. Yeah, 1 billion birds a year. She was constantly battling them. And we have this huge feral black cat that comes to our porch or their deck, and we sit there and have staring contests. So I'm sitting on the couch. He's out there. He's probably father to many of the black cats in the neighborhood. And we just stare at one another. And then he breaks down first. He leaves. And if he doesn't, I open the door and he goes. Oh. But I'm sure he's responsible, unfortunately. Anyway, that's about all I have to say about that. I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah, that'll be a popular one. And okay. Amy Tan, of course, is a popular author. Well, thank you, Kathy. Uma, what is your first pick?
Oh, I chose my favorite topic about how to live stress-free life.
Ooh, I think too.
I know, it's an interesting topic. I'm sure it will be your favorite too. The title is, It's Okay Not to Look for the Meaning of Life.
Hear, hear.
A Zen Monk's Guide to Living Stress-Free One Day at a Time. It's written by Chikisai Minami. Okay, this title will be out on April 2nd. So every one of us will be going through some kind of stress, knowingly and unknowingly. How to be free ourselves from stress with the simple, no-nonsense advice from a Zen monk. This book has 35 short, thought-provoking essays, which are divided into 4 chapters. One is like our sense of self, our hopes and dreams, our personal relationships, and how to face death. I know summer is coming up, spring and summer, we all want to go out and sit and meditate something and feel stress-free from all these anxieties, what we are going through every day in our lives.
Yeah, I'd say that's a universal goal.
Thank you. Each chapter features a number of short, thought-provoking essays that provide a fresh perspective on familiar topics. The author also encourages us to accept our reality and live our lives from that starting point. This, he believes, will free us from anxiety, relationship problems, and negative emotions. So this is the book what I'm going to introduce you guys to read during upcoming months.
Right.
It's coming out on April 2nd. So I thought this will be a perfect book for our summer. You can take it with you wherever. You can sit next to the beach or lake and read about this book and just think about yourself.
I'll order it. I might already have after I read your thing, you know, on Overdrive.
Oh, I already ordered in. It's in the cart, and I think I ordered yesterday this book. This
oh,
title,
yeah, but
like
I'm talking about digitally.
Oh, you're
that's
talking
great.
About
so,
digitally?
Yeah,
yeah.
Hopefully we can
okay.
have a physical and a electronic.
Yeah,
That'd be
yeah.
awesome.
I ordered a physical book, and so you can do that, Kathy.
Okay.
Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much. Two low stress books. No pressure, Kate, but what's your first book?
I'd say it's pretty low stress too. My book is called Stewed Zucchini, The Art of the Italian Snack.
Wow.
So we don't you normally pick cookbooks, I feel like, for these podcasts or like lists of
That's
things
true,
that we're
we don't,
excited
yeah.
about. But I saw this one and I was pretty excited about it. So I learned a new word, stewed zucchini, which is from the root word in Italian, stuzzicare, which means like to whet your appetite. So basically what this is like finger foods.
Okay.
And what it says in the description is that in Italy, this is something that they eat like in the afternoon along with like happy hour drinks and that sort of thing. So I'm excited because I don't really cook much on a day-to-day basis, but when I go to like parties and events, I put my whole self into it. So people think I'm a really good cook based on what I bring, but that's just because like that's the only effort I ever put into cooking. So I'm excited about this because there just seems to be like a ton of recipes that I think I'm going to make over the summer and bring to like Memorial Day barbecues and stuff like that.
Ooh,
The
that
pictures
sounds
are
yummy.
really striking too.
Okay.
That sounds amazing. And
yeah.
I am a terrible cook, so I think it's a perfect book for you as compared to me.
Yeah. I watched that Stanley Tucci on that. What's the name of the show?
Searching for Italy.
Searching for Italy.
Yeah, I watched that too. That was good.
He's 100% Italian, but raised in the U.S. And I mean, how do people get these jobs?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, not only is he a prolific actor and I mean, and then he gets a tour and every time I watch it, my mouth is watering through the whole thing.
Oh yeah, it was so good.
Oh,
that sounds amazing. Val and I were lucky enough to go to Italy and just everything was great. Just having basic pizza was like the most amazing pizza I've ever had.
Right.
So
oh my God.
Know how to do it.
Yeah, Italy, it's something great. You have to visit at least once in your lifetime.
Yeah.
I intend to. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place to visit. This summer I was there, right? Last
summer.
Oh,
yeah. Brag.
Right. Beautiful
and
good food.
What is the thing? What I learned, you know, it is water is very expensive than wine.
Yeah, it's true.
You know,
as it should
you
be.
Get wine if you are a good wine drinker. It's a lovely place to visit. That.
Well, that makes me happy.
It's the best wine you've ever had. All Italian wine. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Kate. So my first book, I don't know if it's stressful or not. I don't think so. This one seems pretty fun and light. It's called The Fixer, Moguls, Mobsters, Movie Stars, and Marilyn by Josh Young and Manfred Westfall. This one comes out April 16th, and it is an official nonfiction hot read. It's a riveting tell-all biography that delves into the extraordinary life of Hollywood's most infamous private detective and fixer to the stars, revealing newly discovered shocking revelations from his never-before-seen investigative files. So during the height of Hollywood's golden age, one man lorded over the city's lurid underbelly of forbidden sin and celebrity scandal like no other, and his name was Fred Otash. I love the description on this book. I'm like, it makes me want to read it. He was the most sought after private detective and fixer to the stars, and he specialized in the dark arts that would soon dominate the entertainment industry. So he was notorious for bugging the homes, offices, and playpens of movie stars, kingmakers, and powerful politicians, employing state-of-the-art methods of electronic surveillance and wiretapping for a who's who's list of clients for whom he'd do anything short of murder. He lied to federal authorities to protect Frank Sinatra from criminal liability. He recorded Rock Hudson's private confessions to his estranged wife. He moved in with Judy Garland to help her get sober. And he taped Marilyn Monroe's rendezvous with John F. Kennedy and others. So sounds like a nice, fun, juicy tell all. I'm a big fan of film noir. You at home can't see this, but I'm drinking from my film noir festival mug. And this book seems like it might read a little bit like a real life noir. I think there's just something kind of inherently fascinating about old timey private detectives and celebrity scandals and kind of the darker side of Hollywood in the mid century. I buy lots of our history books and biographies for the library, and a lot of them are World War II and Civil War battles. Sometimes it's just fun to have a history book that doesn't read like a history book. It's just kind of sort of gossipy fun. And one of our Let's Get Real book club members once told me, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, there's nothing more fun than reading about rich and famous people doing dumb things. and I completely agree with that. I think this book will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, his methods don't sound too legal to me. I wonder if he ever like went to jail or something.
I don't know.
We'll have to read the book.
We'll have to read the book to find out. But anyway.
Does sound like great, fun. Phil.
Yeah. Kathy, what's your next pick?
Okay, well, my next one, I'll be short and kind of sweet with this one. It's called, in fact, I think I had it on for a hot read. I don't think it made it, though. It's called Dogland by Tommy Tomlinson. Pardon?
I voted for it.
You did?
Thank you,
Kate. due out in April. That's Tomlinson. Okay, Tomlinson. So he was watching a dog show on television a few years ago when he had a sudden thought. Are those dogs happy? How about pet dogs? Are they happy? Those questions sparked a quest to venture inside the dog show world in search of a deeper understanding of the relationship between dogs and humans that has endured for thousands of years. Dogland shares a surprising entertainment and moving adventures. Okay, so this is, I don't know, how many people sitting here have watched Best in Show?
Oh, I've seen it. That's funny.
I have not, but I've heard great things about
it. You have to watch it. Literally, you have to watch it because I could watch it over and over again.
Yeah, I think it's the best Christopher Guest movie that he ever made.
and Eugene Levy, who does...
Oh, yes.
Did Best
great.
In Show, and then more recently and superbly, Schitt's Creek.
Yep.
That is obviously... I was trying to find S-C-H-I-T-T-S for there in the podcast audience.
yes.
Okay, so as I was saying, it's, you know, like a real life version of Eugene Levy's Best in Show. He follows one champion dog named Striker, a beloved, maybe a dog lover knows the way to pronounce this, Samoyed. Has anybody heard? S-A-M-O-Y-E-D. I'm only thinking maybe it's from Samoa. And so it's pronounced Samoyed, who took honors at the Westminster Dog Show 2 years running and was profiled in the New York Times. So he illustrates the personalities and practices of the characters on the dog show circuit, particularly the relationship between Striker and his handler, Laura King, who travels with as many as 20 dogs in a motorhome that she calls Betty White, who was famous for her love of animals. So the reviewer says that Tomlinson's limitless curiosity about people and dogs reaches far beyond the show's tents and into the ordinary lives of dogs. We hear from experts who have discovered new insights into how dogs and humans formed their bond and how that bond has changed over the centuries. We discover the fascinating origins of different dog breeds, learn about elaborate breed standards that determine an ideal show dog, and consider the health issues that can arise in purebred dogs. I think it was some kind of, never mind. I won't go into that because I'm, you know, a French bulldog, I think.
Yeah. The one with the big head?
I think so. That is so valuable because they have many health issues and one can cost as much as $15,000.
Oh my God.
Oh,
I know.
Wow.
I tell you. engaging, charming, and insightful, Dogland is irresistibly appealing. It's an irresistibly appealing read that invites us on a rollicking backstage tour through the rituals, tricks, and wonders of the dog show world, and reveals what matters most for the happiness of dogs and dog lovers everywhere. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, too. Even though I don't have a dog and I'm not a real true animal lover, except for my daughter's dog, Edgar, I really think that this will, it would make a cute movie, I bet. But anyway.
Yeah, that sounds like a great one. I think that'll be popular. That comes out in April also. And a lot of these books, as soon as we place the order, typically they are able to be put on hold. So check our catalog soon and you'll probably be able to place your order on any one of these books that we're talking. Well, thank you, Kathy. Uma, what's your second and final pick?
Okay. So before I give you out the title, I would like you guys to guess it. So what is this? Many of us are all excited about something in April coming up. We are all excited about it. What is that?
Opening day of baseball?
No, many of us are all excited about view upcoming full solar eclipse.
Yes, the eclipse.
Oh, I was going to say April Fool's Day.
No, it's all full solar eclipse. So I'm going to, the second title is The Astronomy Handbook.
Cool.
The Ultimate Guide to Observing and Understanding Stars, Planets, Galaxies and the Universe. It is by Shilling Govert. He's an award-winning astronomy writer. And so this is such an interesting book. Those who have interest with the universe, study about planets, stars, and et cetera, et cetera. And so what is this? We are going to get this full solar eclipse on April 8th. Why do we get these eclipses? What is the universe about? How do these galaxies, stars, and planets work? If you have all these questions about, I would say this title, The Astronomy Handbook, The Ultimate Guide to Observing and Understanding Stars, Planets, Galaxies, and the Universe by Shilling Govert is a must read.
That sounds really good.
This is a go-to guide for learning everything about our universe and every universe beyond.
Wow.
So this is my second pick. I don't want to say much about it. Please check it out, read this, and understand about universe if you are interested with all this study of planets or stars and all this.
I love that. Yeah, I remember, a long time ago, probably 10 years ago, when I loved to vegetable garden and I did everything by the moon. Okay. So I knew when the waxing or waning, what was good for potatoes. I mean, I really got into it that summer. It was very fun.
Did you check on digital copy, Kathy, for this?
Okay,
book?
I will. I definitely will. Okay. For all of these, actually, that's what we usually do. So I will be happy to.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And since you brought it up.
Actually, this title is coming out on May 28th, not in April, though.
Okay. May 28th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. And since you brought it up, we'll have a limited number of eclipse glasses available at the library while supplies last.
Mm-hmm. For resident cardholders.
For resident cardholders, yes.
That's
well, thank
true.
You, Umba.
That's a good thing you did mention that here.
Hey, what's your final pick?
My final pick is called Everest Inc., The Renegades and Rogues Who Built an Industry at the Top of the World by Will Cockrell. Mm. And I'm excited about this because I love reading books about people climbing Mount Everest because I myself never want to do such a thing. So it sounds so miserable and treacherous and unforgiving that I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm just sitting here in the warmth reading about this.
You won't believe me. Recently, one of my friends, actually, she's my doctor. She did that.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Mount Everest. Now, recently, they went on trekking.
Yeah.
That's a mountain. When she was talking about, I said she practiced. for so many months for that.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Yeah, so this book is kind of about the business end of what goes on Mount Everest, because what they were saying in the description is that, like, back in the day, it used to be people that climbed Mount Everest were, like, these intrepid adventurers who would somehow find their way to the top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. But now it's more business based. So you hire a Sherpa, the Sherpa brings you to the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
You know, they evoke pictures of like long lines, like people standing in a single file line to get to the top and that sort of a thing.
Oh, really?
And it seems like they kind of mention like that it used to be the intrepid adventurers going to Mount Everest, but now anybody can go as long as they have enough money. And that's all tied to the business end of the Sherpas. And it said that the Sherpas, a lot of them have been in business for decades, starting this like probably in the 70s or something and continuing till now and growing their business, for better or worse, what that looks like.
And yeah, but I have one more question here, Kate. Yeah, although it is a business kind of thing, anybody cannot, but because they do have some test, right? Physical, you need to be fit to physically fit, right?
I'm sure
there.
You do. Yeah.
Those are specifically designed to keep me off the mountain.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, but the author's Will Cockrell, and it sounds like he's done a lot of work with like Outside Magazine. And he, in this book, he interviews Jimmy Chin, who I'm a big fan of, and he's a climber / filmmaker / photographer. He's done a lot with National Geographic, and like he's made movies like Free Solo and Meru. Mm-hmm. So I think this is going to be an exciting book. And Kathy, I'm hoping you can get the e-audio.
You betcha. You betcha. Just for you, Kate.
Thank
and
you.
Everybody. But I everything I've heard about it within the recent history is the miserableness of the thousands of people trying to climb it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And seeing having to pass dead bodies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Bodies frozen in the side of the road.
Yes.
I mean, that's horrible.
it's never the Sherpas that get the glory. It's always the rich people that
definitely
forked over the money to go up
right.
there.
And the funny thing, too, is like it's a huge accomplishment if you are one of the rich people that got to the top, but like the Sherpas do it every day.
Yeah, right. That's just a Tuesday for them.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure my doctor, she's a rich doctor. So she's
I'm sure.
With all due respect to your doctor.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, thank you, Kate. Well, I've got one last one myself. It's The Demon of Unrest, a saga of hubris, heartbreak, and heroism at the dawn of the Civil War by Eric Larson. This one comes out April 30th. So the best-selling author of The Splendid and the Vile, Dead Wake, and Devil in the White City brings to life the pivotal 5 months between the election of Abraham Lincoln and the start of the Civil War, a simmering crisis that finally tore a deeply divided nation in two. On November 6th, 1860, Abraham Lincoln became the unlikely victor in a tight race for president. The country was bitterly at odds. Southern extremists were moving ever closer to destroying the Union, with one state after another seceding, and Lincoln powerless to stop them. Slavery fueled the conflict, but somehow the passions of North and South came to focus on a lonely federal fortress in Charleston Harbor, Fort Sumter. Master storyteller Eric Larson offers a gripping account of the chaotic months between Lincoln's election and the Confederacy's shelling of Sumter, a period marked by tragic errors and miscommunications, inflamed egos, personal tragedies, and betrayals. Lincoln himself wrote that the trials of these 5 months were so great that could I have anticipated them, I would not have believed it possible to survive them.
That's
Abraham
him.
Lincoln.
That was good.
So anyway, this one is, it's Eric Larson. It'll be a hit.
Of course.
Popular Publishers Weekly gives it a positive review. So does Kirkus. I buy lots of Civil War history books. There's 1,000 that come out every year. And apparently there's just a new angle to cover, endless numbers of angles to cover on the Civil War and, of course, World War II.
Right.
But I have a particular soft spot for Eric Larson. I've read his books Devil in the White City, about the serial killer H.H. Holmes in Chicago, and I've read Splendid and the Vile about Winston Churchill during the bombing of London, and they are two of my favorite historical nonfiction books. Eric Larson is a really great storyteller. You often hear him described as writing nonfiction that reads like fiction, and I definitely agree with that assessment. At this point, I feel like it's my personal duty as our library's purchaser of U.S. history books to let the public know whenever Eric Larson comes out with a new book, and April is the month, so this will definitely be popular. You can, I think, already start putting your holds on that one if you want, and we'll have extra copies because it's a hot read.
I think that'll be really interesting. I went to Fort Sumter actually a few years ago. You have to take a boat to get there, and you see dolphins along the way.
Oh, neat.
But it's designated as a national park, so they had like a national park ranger there to kind of explain the historical context of it. With the Civil War and like what it was and what happened there, which I had no idea. If I ever learned that in U.S. history, I forgot about it. So it was really fascinating. So I think this book's going to be good.
Yeah. And I mean, the last I heard about it was probably elementary school. I just remembered it. There was some sort of battle that kicked off the Civil War. But this is on my want to read list. All these are coming out real soon. So watch for these other great titles coming to a library near you. Our hot reads can be found at all three of our library locations. At our main library, both new nonfiction and nonfiction hot reads can be found on the second floor. That's where we all work. Thank you all so much for listening, and have a happy spring, everybody.
Yes. All right, thanks.
Happy spring. Thank
you. Happy spring, everyone.
Happy spring.
Bye.
Bye.